We thank you, Lord God, that light is stronger than darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, it cannot understand it, it cannot stop it. Thank you, Lord, you are for us. Who can ever be against us? And I just feel like the Lord is breaking fear off some people right now, because the enemy is trying to intimidate you, and you've been scared. You've been scared of the devil going to get you, or this or that or whatever. But God says, no, the devil is scared of you. It's the other way around. So when he comes against you, like he did against me yesterday, you just text some of your girls and get them to pray for you. You just get someone to come alongside you and pray, and you stand firm. This is our warfare. We don't get out our gun and shoot someone. We pray. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty, mighty, mighty in God. More than we know. More than we know. More than we know. And Father, right now we commit this time around your word to you. Lord, I pray you tune in every heart and you would speak direct to every heart today. Let the seed fall into good soil. Let there be no distractions in the name of Jesus, no birds of the air trying to eat the seed. But Lord, let it go into good soil and bear fruit even 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Pat someone on the back as you sit down. Say, you're looking good, you're smelling good, and you're sounding good in Jesus' name. How you doing today, church? You're looking good. This is the place to be for all the goss today. You've found out the new name of the cafe. You've found out that we're looking at going from AG to C3. Is there any other goss we've missed? You heard it because you came to church. That's great. And you know this, you can come and talk to Alan or me afterwards about it if you want, because it's something we've been thinking about and praying about for probably more than a year, but we've been looking at seriously for about 6 months. Because 6 months ago, we were at a pastor's gathering with Pastor Paul DeYoung and some other pastors down in Queenstown. And Pastor Steve Penny, who's a prophet, was one of the preachers. And as soon as he opened his mouth and started talking, I started hearing from God. Not what he was saying, but God just started. Because like heaven opened and you could just hear God really clearly. And I just felt the Lord say, now, it's time is now to move from the AG. It's now. And I just felt that, and I told Alan, and we talked about it, and we started talking with the internal advisors and our management team, and more recently, our staff and leaders. But we're not offended. Look at me. Do I look offended? We're not offended. No one's been mean to us in the AOG. Everyone's just nice to us. And we love those people. We're very grateful for our strong heritage. It's all we've ever known. It's all I've ever known in 30 years of walking with the Lord. I've only ever been in two churches, and they're both Assembly of God ones. It's all Alan's ever known in his 50 years and the 9 months he spent going to church before he was born. So we're very grateful for our heritage. But it's something we feel that we have a real affinity with the culture of C3, and we love Pastor Phil Pringle, always have. I've been listening to him for over 25 years. And we love what they're doing with church planting, and we want to get on board with that. And they're planting churches all over the world, which is really exciting. So you can come and chat to us more about it if you want. But I'm excited about prayer and fasting. Why don't you tell the person next to you, you look like you could do with a bit of fasting. It could help you out right there in more ways than one. Now, we're wanting you to come to a prayer meeting. We'd love it if you'd pick one. If you're a leader, you need to pick more than one, maybe two. Now, we've made it really easy for you. We've got four of them at lunchtime, just half an hour from 12 to 12:30. If that suits you, to come up during your lunch break. And we've got six early mornings, 6:15 a.m., if you want to come before work. And we've got two night ones. So we've tried to suit everybody and make lots of times. So out of that, try and pick something and have a look through your brochure on your seat, prayer and fasting, because they're all in there all the times. It's going to be awesome. And we've got different things you can pray for on different days. Rachel's done a great job making that booklet. It is awesome. And start thinking and praying about, maybe talking with your family or your connect group, about which meals or which food you can abstain from, or how many days you're going to fast, which prayer meetings you're going to go to. I like to do a partial fast. I'm already in mourning and grieving for the coffee I'm not going to have daily for two weeks and sweet things. And then on the other days, I'll miss either lunch or meat or something like that, because then I feel like I'm able to keep going and get to all the prayer meetings and not pass out on the couch. But some people are amazing and they do water only. Alan's doing 3 weeks and he's doing fluids only, but it's amazing what you can put in the blender. But I really feel excited in my spirit about what God is going to do through this time. And I feel like there's been opposition this week about this message for me. It's time to pray. That's our title. And I really felt to come against distraction when I was praying for this meeting today. And I feel like the enemy so often distracts us, especially with our devices. And it's not only this section, although largely it is. But I see middle-aged men on their phones every time I preach. We can see you, you know, up here. And it's quite different to when someone's taking notes and looking up, or someone's going and showing all their friends the cars on their phone or whatever it is they're looking at. You know, so I feel like, you know, the Lord is planting seed, but the birds of the air, the devil, come and eat up that seed when we allow ourselves to be distracted and robbed. So do take notes on your device if you have self-control, which you should have, because it's a fruit of the Holy Ghost. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got self-control. If your device distracts you, don't take notes on it. But I want to encourage you to take notes, so bring a journal if your phone distracts you, and write it down. Because even just the process of taking notes will help us remember what is said. I hardly ever go back and revisit the notes I've taken, but I always take notes because it helps me keep my mind on what's being said and write down the main things. So we are going to talk about it's time to pray. And I am really excited about this. I felt myself texting it out to my friends when I was asking them to pray for me. A prayer wave is coming. A prayer wave is coming. And one of them texted back, "Do you realize that was prophesied, that a prayer wave is going to come out of our church by someone a couple of years ago?" And I'd forgotten that. And, you know, we're building this prayer room out here on the top of that portico area. And it's going to look out over the city, north, south, and west. And we can get in there and pray, and we'll have external access so people can get in there day and night without having to do all the alarms and everything, and pray out, look out and pray over the city. And I'm really excited about that. I feel like a prayer wave is coming. Tell the person next to you, get ready to surf the prayer wave. Woohoo! It's going to come through you and me. It's going to come through the Holy Ghost praying through us. I want to ask you a question today. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Prayer is not a religious duty, something that comes out of obligation. It starts with passion, a burning desire for God. And I believe that God is calling us afresh as a church to pray, because it is time to pray. Do you know, I read about a prayer survey this week. I was reading something about some research that someone did on the subject of prayer. A guy called Andrew M. Greeley, who's a sociologist and a novelist and a priest, has a research center called NORC in America. And he found out that 3/4 of all Americans pray at least once a week. And more than half report praying at least once a day. He even found out that amongst atheists and agnostics, nearly 1 in 5 still prays. Check out the irony. And in the current edition of Books in Print, amongst the thousands of titles listed on prayer, meditations, and techniques of spiritual growth, yeah, there's thousands of titles, which is more than 3 times the number devoted to sexual intimacy and how to achieve it. Oh, there you go. And then he goes on to talk about the benefits that are experienced by couples who pray together in their marriage. Hands up if you pray with your spouse. Put your hand up. Give us a little wave. And he says that some young couples have found praying together is the tie that really binds. His surveys show that husbands and wives who pray together report greater marital satisfaction than those who don't, and that frequent sex coupled with frequent prayer make for the most satisfying marriages. There you go, you heard it here at City Church. Bit of marriage advice, a few marriage tips there. So when we pray and fast, we get closer to Him. And the great thing about fasting is that it helps to kill the flesh, our sinful nature. And our flesh, our sinful nature, is like a spoiled, demanding child. Your flesh keeps bugging you, especially when you're fasting, saying, I'm hungry, I want some cake. And you say, shut up, flesh, you're getting nothing. And it's like, and it dies. And that's a good thing, because fasting destroys the hold the flesh, the sinful nature, and the world have on our lives. And when we deny ourselves and our fleshly appetites and start to seek after God more, we become aware how cluttered and distracted our lives have become, because our priorities can so quickly get messed up. Prayer and fasting helps reset our priorities and gives us a fresh passion for God. Our chief goal in life as followers of Jesus is to know Him. Write that down. Our chief goal is to know Him. And when we really get to know Him, we're going to want to make Him known to others. And do you know, this relationship that we have with God is the most important relationship we will ever have in our lives with anyone. More than the relationship you have with your husband or wife, more than the one you have with your mom or dad, or your own children, your own flesh and blood, or your best friends. Because this relationship will take us on into eternity. This relationship will never end. It will last forever. So we need to input into this relationship more than any others, our relationship with God. Now, my objective today is not to make you feel guilty for not praying enough, because we could all pray more. Amen? My objective today is to stir up your spiritual appetite so you have a greater hunger to meet with God than you've ever had before. And I'm praying that the Lord will put a desire inside each of us to get closer to Him and spend more time with Him every day. Because if we truly understood how powerful prayer is, we would all do more of it, individually and corporately. Because when we pray, we unlock powerful forces of heaven and we unleash them upon the earth. Now, this is invisible. We can't see it, but we know it's happening because it tells us that in the Word, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. When we pray, we are doing this, and it's incredible. We can't see it, but it's happening. I'm here to tell you today that we've got to pray because God has called us to do so. We are warriors. You are a warrior, and you are called to wage war. You are called to take ground for the Lord. So stop saying, well, I can't pray. I'm no good at prayer. That's for those super spiro people, not for me. I can't pray. Don't say that. That is exactly what the devil wants you to say. He wants you to confess, I can't pray. He wants you to speak out failure over your life. He wants you to prophesy his lies about yourself. But instead, we've got to get into agreement with God and his word and say what he says about us. And in Psalm 109, verse 4, he says, I am a man of prayer. So I want all the men to say that with me. Ready? I am a man of prayer. All the women now, ready? I am a woman of prayer. That is who we are. This is what David said about himself. And the New King James says, I give myself to prayer. Because the devil will do anything he can to get you out of prayer, to stop you from praying. He fears it, because he knows how powerful it is. Now let's turn to our main text. Here we go, Matthew 7. The Sermon on the Mount, so convicting. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. If you haven't got a Bible, just turn to a Christian near you and look on their Bible. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Jesus talking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? But then he will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And in the Living Bible, instead of I never knew you, it says, you have never been mine. Now this word new in the Greek is genosko, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It means not just to know about, it means to know intimately. it implies a relational connection. And not just a one-off, a getting to know him more and more. It's the same word that's also used for the intimate union between a husband and wife. So knowing about Jesus is not enough. We've actually got to have a relational, intimate, personal connection with him as our nearest, dearest one, as our closest one. We've got to know him. We've got to know the sound of his voice. We've got to know his presence. We've got to actually be able to feel when he walks in the room, detect when his presence is near. We need to know what he is doing and where he is moving, what he likes, what he doesn't like. This knowing only comes from spending time with him, one-on-one. Wherever you're at with God, we can all know him more. We can all have a fresh injection of passion for God today. The truth is, our passion dictates our priorities. Write that down. Our passion dictates our priorities. Who's ever been in love? Put your hand up. If you're married, put your hand up right now. It's a good idea. Yeah, it's good. Who's still in love? Keep your hand up, all you married people. Quick. Or you'll be in trouble later. You know, when we're in love, when you first remember back to the day, when you first fell in love with your husband or your wife or that special someone who's sitting beside you right now, your girlfriend or your fiance or your boyfriend, the priorities you had changed, remember? It was no problem for you, no problem at all to go over to their house every night after work, every night. You'd even offer to mow their lawns or wash their car or cook dinner. I was ironing Alan's shirts willingly, for free. He was cleaning out our pool, vacuuming our pool at our flat. And you know, this was anything just to be near that special someone. And it's like, would you like to go to dinner, a movie, anywhere for you, babe? I'll take you out. I'll pay. Anything, darling. You're so worth it. All of a sudden, you found you had the time and money to do anything and everything for your beloved. Because passion dictates how we spend our time and our money. And it is vital to keep the passion alive in your marriage, even if you've been married decades, and in our walk with God. Because if we ignore love, it will die. If we ignore passion, it will ebb away. We have to keep feeding it. Whether we know it or not, we actually live by our priorities. We need to make the Lord our number one priority. If you see a person with a passion for golf, they'll prioritize time to play golf, and they will live by that priority and play golf all the time. Or let's do one for the women. If you're passionate about shopping, you will find the money. You will find the time. You will shop. And all the sisters said, amen. And all the guys said, oh, God, help me. I don't take Alan when I'm shopping. I just go by myself because it's faster. The passion we have for God dictates our priorities. When we meet with Jesus, it changes us forever. The passion, hunger, and desire we have for God starts to consume us, and our old priorities and appetites are replaced with God's priorities and appetites. Much like when someone falls in love, their priorities change. Same with us for God. Now we want to spend time with him. We want to be here at his house all the time. It's vital we keep our passion and love for Jesus burning strong all our lives. And this happens when we prioritize him with our time. But too often we say, well, I don't have time. I don't have time for God. I don't have time to pray. But what we're actually saying is, I have other things, I have other people that I am prioritizing above Jesus because I am more passionate about them than I am about him. That is what we're saying. Because if we are passionate about the Lord, we will make him a priority, his house, his word, and being with him in his presence in prayer. Every day. Here's a quote by Vance Havner. He who waits on God loses no time. She who waits on God loses no time. You know, we're not going to pray out of some religious obligation or duty. We're going to seek God with renewed desire and passion. And we want to respond to his calling today. We don't want to say, well, I'd like to pray, but you know, hello, I've got a job, I've got kids, I've got things to do here. Don't say that, just say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. Just say yes, have a yes in your spirit, just respond to him. Don't give him all the reasons why you can't. Because when we follow our passion for him and make him our number one priority, then the time will follow. The time will be provided. When we put him first in our time, then he blesses and supernaturally multiplies the rest of our time. It's the same as tithing. When we put him first with our money, he makes the other 90% holy and he goes to work on it and stretches it. It's the same when we give him our time, first of all, and honor him. It's up to us to follow Jesus and not allow lack of time to hinder us. The truth is we make time for who we are passionate about and what we're passionate about. When we get a passion for God, our passion for the world dies away. When we get an appetite for the Holy Ghost, the appetite for the flesh dies away. We only have so much capacity. When we're full of God, you don't have room for the world and the flesh. You want to get rid of temptation? Then just get full of God, because the world won't have any room. The world and the flesh just can't compete with God. Here's another scripture for us. James 4 verse 8a. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You have the power to choose. I have the power to choose. Decide now, I will draw near to God. I will make him my passion and my priority. And when you choose to move closer to God, God will move closer to you. We take the first step because he's already provided the way through the cross. Here's a quote by R.V.G. Tusker, who was a British Bible scholar from last century. He said, "Those who approach God most frequently live closest to him." Those who approach God most frequently live closest to him. So if we want to live closer to God, we've got to approach him frequently, daily. Let's not wait till we get a free hour with nothing to do before we'll actually pray. Make a decision to pray and the time will follow. Following Jesus is all about making him first every day. It's about doing what he says straight away. Too many Christians sit around and wait for the provision first of the time or the money to do what God's called them to do. Stop waiting till the resources are there. Just follow God in faith. Stop waiting till you've got thousands in the bank before you say yes to that missions trip. Stop waiting till you've got hours of free time each week. Stop waiting till all your ducks are in a row, till all the stars align before you obey God. Step out in obedience now and the resources will follow, because he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And he won't tell you to do something and then not provide the resources for you to be able to do it. Stop waiting for the perfect time and step up and do what he's called you to do, because there is no perfect time. The time is now. The time is today. And all of us who are parents, give me a wave, we know this. We want our kids to obey us straight away, don't we? Not 2 hours later when they feel like it. Please, will you tidy your room, darling? Or will you pick up your toys, sweetie darling? No, I'll do it later. When I feel like it. Slow obedience is no obedience. Slow obedience is no obedience. God is looking for us to be his obedient kids. Straight away, straight away. He's saying it's time to pray. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm not bringing pathetic excuses of why I can't. I'm saying yes, and I'm responding to you. The more we wait on him, the more he fills us up with his presence. The more of his presence we carry, the more power we move in. But so often God's people are not spending time with him. So we end up as God's people walking around empty, devoid of all power and joy. But we need to wait on him every day to be refueled. I'm here to tell you today, you need a top up. Oh yeah, a top up of the Holy Ghost. Tell the person next to you, you need a top up. You really need a top up. And there are no shortcuts to the anointing. The price we must pay is time. And what this world needs today is some Christians who are topped up and who are full of God, who've got something to offer, because this world is messed up. This world does not need any more religious folks with theological arguments. This world needs people who are full of the Holy Ghost power and who know their God. I'm talking about people who are full of the Holy Spirit, not full of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and gaming. The truth is, God is not weak. His people are. But we don't have to be. We have a responsibility to wait on God and get a top up from the Holy Spirit every day. Because God uses people who are passionate about him. God uses people who get so full of the Holy Ghost, anointing and presence, that it just overflows out of them onto others they meet. Because passion for God is contagious, and passion for God is noticeable, and passion for God will open doors of opportunity to share the gospel. Man, since last week I've had four lengthy conversations with four different people. One of them was a couple, five people. And got the chance to share my testimony. One of them, I laid hands on them and prayed for them and invited them all to church. And one of them, I gave them a tract and a thing. But you only get those opportunities when you're looking for them because you've taken the time to be in His presence. And we forgot all of our own agendas and we start to download His agenda. We need to be in prayer daily to be ready and looking for these. Here's a quote from Pastor Phil Pringle, who was just on the big screen before. He's written a book called If, The Art of Prayer. Prayer is not an optional extra. Prayers are the lungs of the Spirit. The church breathes through prayer. Now, God is Spirit. He is eternal. And we're made in His image, so we too are Spirit and are also eternal. And when we talk to God in prayer, we are connecting with Him, Spirit to Spirit. Yet so often we find it hard to stop the busy little car that is our life and park and put the handbrake on and slow down our body and our soul long enough to allow our spirit to connect with God. Our spirit longs for that connection. You know, before I knew the Lord, I was a teenager and I was back on the farm and I was trying to find some peace with God. And we had a flat garage roof. And my parents had split up and my dad married my friend's mum. So my friend and her mum moved in. And so I had this step family and I didn't like them. I didn't like anybody. And I was mad. And I thought, I need some peace in my life. And I'd heard about meditation. So I'd climb up on the garage roof and I'd try and do the lotus position, but I've got quite long legs and I just couldn't get into that lotus position. And it was freezing up there and it basically just didn't work. It didn't. I was looking for peace, but I couldn't do the lotus position, and I couldn't find peace. But then I moved to Hamilton, and I met Carolyn on the first day of school, and she introduced me to Jesus, and I met peace, because peace has a name. Hey, another verse for that song. Peace has a name. Like the fifth verse, we've found it. He is the Prince of Peace. He is, and now I can tap into peace afresh every day of my life. I can get a fresh top up of peace when I meet with Him. I like to meet with Him in the mornings before the stresses of the day. I like to pray in tongues in our bedroom or in the lounge if no one's home. And I feel like, sometimes I feel like He's already there before I get there because I can feel His presence when I walk in and shut the door behind me. And the best thing about meeting with God, I think, is that it keeps my heart soft. Because we need our hearts soft. Our hearts can so quickly and easily get hardened. And God will always use someone if they have a soft heart. He can use anyone with a soft heart. He will use anyone with a soft heart. And what a privilege it is for us to be able to be on a first name basis with God Almighty, who spoke the heavens and the earth into being. To be on a first name basis with the creator of the universe. God's face is discovered in prayer. James 5, 16b, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. And we can't always see these results. We're not sure if it's working, but we know it's working because the word says it has wonderful results. And it avails much. It avails much on earth. It avails much in the future. It avails much in eternity. Tell the person next to you, it's time to pray. And in our last 5 minutes, I'm going to give you three things about praying. Number one, pray alone. Number one, pray alone. Mark 1:35, Jesus prayed alone. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Jesus was busier than all of you and me put together. He had people clamoring, but He still made time to be alone with the Father. How did He do it? He gave up sleep. There's a clue, write that down. He got up before everybody else. He gave up sleep. How did He do that with no alarm clock? Maybe it was a rooster's. He found a place to be alone with God. Probably wasn't the same place because He was itinerating all over Israel and beyond. But He found a place. I want to ask you, do you have a place where you meet with God? If you have a place where you meet with God, you're more likely to meet with God because you have a place. It doesn't have to be the same place. You can vary it and change it up. But you need a place where you meet with God, where you can be alone with Him, uninterrupted with Him. It might be walking on the beach. But it's important to stop what we're doing and have time one-on-one with God. Sometimes with some Christians, a prayer time is just muttering words to Him while they're also doing something else, like driving to work, hanging out the washing, doing their makeup. Do we honor the Lord as someone who is important enough for us to give Him our full and undivided attention? To actually stop what we're doing and honor His presence enough to disconnect with our own self and our busyness and connect with Him? This is the foundation of what our walk with God is, our connection with Him, talking back and forth, listening. How strong is it? Do you know, if you or I were stuck in jail in solitary confinement for our faith and everything else was stripped away, what would be left? If we had no church to go to, no cool band up here, with Leo slapping on bass, just got healed 2 weeks ago, been at the bakery, hallelujah. If we had no praise and worship, we had no Life FM, Shine TV, Radio Rema, we had no Connect group leader texting us, how you doing? We had no books or no podcasts. What would be left? All that would be left is our relationship with Him. How strong is that? We knew a guy once who was in solitary confinement in a jail in Asia, and it wasn't pretty. He said many guys in there lost their minds. If everything else was stripped away, it was just us and God, what would there be left? If our faith was stripped back to just the bones of our relationship with Him, what is there? When we spend time with God alone, we strengthen our foundations. You know, there was a guy called Frank LeBuck, and about 90 years ago when he was alive, he decided to do a lifelong experiment and have contact with God all the time. I was telling the band about this the other night. He tried to consciously think of God and bring his thoughts back to the Lord every few moments. He started this by his prayer time every day in the morning. And after doing this for 3 months, all throughout the day as well, he said that he reported a thrill in his fellowship with God and a sheer joy unlike anything else he had ever experienced anywhere before. He felt God's presence so close to him, and he found everything that is discordant with God totally disgusting. He thought more clearly. He forgot less frequently. Things he did with a strain before now he found easy and effortless. He worried about nothing. He lost no sleep. He even looked different in the mirror to himself because he had a new light in his eyes. This is what happened to one guy when he decided to press into God more than ever before. We can have that too. I want to give you some practical ideas that you can do when you're alone with God. And you can write them down if one of them resonates with you. You can walk around inside your room and pray. Walk and pray, that's what I do. I like to pace and pray. You can walk outside in creation and pray, on the beach, in the bush. You can pray in tongues. I like starting my prayer meeting praying in tongues. Sakarabarabidiya, my prayer time. Suraba, because the Holy Spirit is praying through your spirit, bypassing your brain, this analytical, controlling brain, and it's your spirit engaging, spirit to spirit. You can always write a letter to God or write a prayer or journal. You can write God's response back to you, listening and writing down what you believe He's saying to you. You can put an empty chair there like an old Scotsman used to do and just believe Jesus is sitting in it and sit beside that chair and tell Him everything. You can sing and worship to God. Suzette Hadding, that great intercessor for Rona Bonke, she says 90% of her prayer life is worship. You can just put a song on. I often do this. I dial up some Bethel or Jesus Culture or something on my phone and I just put it on. I just stand in the presence of God and worship Him and receive from Him. You can vary it up. You can prophesy scriptures aloud of yourself by reading them aloud. You could thank God for every blessing in your life out loud or write them all down. You could look out the window, I like doing this, and just thank God for every aspect of creation that you can see that He has made. The second one after praying alone is pray with others. Pray with others. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There are some conditions here for God's blessing and healing on our land. Humbling ourselves, praying, seeking His face, turning from our wicked ways. Do you know the posture of prayer is the posture of humility? To pray is to humble ourselves. To pray is to say, well, God, I can't do it. I need you, Lord. I need your help. Pride increases when prayer decreases. Pride certainly does not pray because pride doesn't need anyone's help. Pride doesn't go on altar calls either. Pride will not submit to or be held accountable to anyone. But humility, don't you love humility? It's the opposite. Humility prays and asks God for help. Humility goes on altar calls and asks for input and prayer and help. Humility will willingly submit to one another in love. Humility lives in community, in connect groups. Humility is willing to be held accountable. Now, all through the year, even when we're not doing a season of prayer and fasting, we have a 6:15 a.m. prayer meeting each week here at church, plus our monthly prayer meeting at night, 7 to 8 p.m. the third Thursday here, and at Coast they have one as well at night. We usually have one or two of these seasons of prayer and fasting a year for 2 or 3 weeks when we hold extra prayer meetings. Now, I want to encourage you to come, because even if you're not a big prayer, you don't have to pray out loud, but just by being there, you'll be in agreement. And the last one, number 3, praying for others, praying for others. And there's a scripture up there from Ezekiel about standing in the gap. God's heart is for someone to stand in the gap. When there was a wall around the city, there was a gap in the wall, a breach in the wall. A great warrior would go and stand in the gap with a sword to protect the city. And this is what we do when we pray. When we pray, we are protecting the city, protecting people from the attack of the enemy. We're praying for others. We call this intercession. We stand between heaven and earth and ask God, the Lord, for souls, for people. We ask God for people's protection. You have power before the throne of God to intercede for others. It's the power of attorney, arguing and pleading the case for others before the Lord. This is a vital role for us as Christians to pray. We must intercede for those who are lost. Do you know, we all had someone who prayed for us before we came to know Jesus. A praying grandma, a praying teacher, or a workmate. Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father first draws them. We need to pray for lost ones. It's our responsibility. Because lost people don't know how to pray for themselves. I've got a mental list of people I bring before the throne of God every day, asking God for their salvation. George Mueller did this. He was that famous guy who lived over 100 years ago, and he ran orphanages, and he believed God, and he saw miraculous provision for food turning up for these orphanages. He also prayed for his friend. His friend didn't know the Lord. He prayed for his friend for 63 years, and his friend came to know the Lord. His friend came to know the Lord at George Mueller's funeral. He didn't see it on this earth, but I bet he saw it from heaven. As the casket was being lowered into the ground, this guy gave his heart to Jesus. The weight of those prayers had built up, and they came through, and that guy got saved because George Mueller would not stop praying for his friend. Even when he didn't see any results with his own eyes on this life, he would not stop. And I pray that we would have that same heart as George Mueller, who would keep bringing people before the throne of God. This is a matter of urgency. We need a burden for souls. Because when we get to heaven, it will be too late. While there is breath left in us, we must give our all to this. Because the main thing is that we get to the other side. This life is a futile exercise if we end up in a prison of darkness forever. And even if you can make $1 billion, if you don't know Jesus, it's all for nothing. Can't take it with you. There is no wealthy suburb in hell that you can somehow buy property at. If we don't have Jesus, we've got nothing. Let's stand this morning. God is calling us to prayer afresh, individually and corporately. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. I want to ask you this morning, is God speaking to you about praying and lifting your game in this area and developing a stronger prayer life? Maybe getting a place of prayer. Maybe becoming accountable to someone in your prayer and texting each other when you've done it every day. If God has been speaking to you about praying, why don't you lift your hand? I want to pray for you right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for all of these awesome people raising their hands in response to you. Father, we pray that you would touch them and release grace to them right now. Show them how, where, when to pray, a place to pray. Lord, give them keys, ideas, some of these ways, a burden that drives them on. Father, we pray that you would rise up a fresh wave of prayer that comes out of City Church, that affects the city and the nation and the nations. God, pray through us. We say, here am I, send me. Thank you, Lord. And while we are singing this last song, we're going to sing a worship song right now. I'd love it if you raised your hand if you wanted to come and God is really going to touch you, I believe, and give you victory and breakthrough in your prayer life. I believe like a mantle of prayer, a spirit of prayer is going to come on people and they're going to want to pray more than they have before. I'd also like to pray for intercessors. If you feel like you've got a mantle of intercession, if you can come and stand over here on this side, I'd love to pray for you. Let's sing it. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. That's you. You come.